Yep. Hebrews 13, verse 16, we'll be in. So Doug last week was in Hebrews 13, verse 15. And when he was preaching last week, I felt like God was, I've said this before, but I felt like God was downloading a sermon. I was just getting like connection after connection. And it was awesome. I was like, all right, this is going to be a great, easy week to do the sermon. And then I started to study and prepare, and I totally lost it. It was like, everything went away. It felt like it was total confusion and disorder. And I wonder who does that. Yeah. So I took a moment, and it took me longer than it should have to finally take a moment, stop, and just acknowledge this is his word, and it's his power, it's his might, it's his faithfulness. That's what matters. So I want to encourage us all to take a moment and acknowledge that we're about to get into his word. And let's take heed to what God says. So last week, as I was saying, Doug was in verse 15, and he started on the spiritual sacrifices and the sacrifice of praise. And today we're going to continue in verse 16 with the spiritual sacrifices of doing good and sharing. Let's read Hebrews 13, verse 15. We'll start in that. Through him then, that is Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to get into your word. We get to read the word of the living God, God Almighty. And we pray, Lord, that by your spirit and by your grace, you would remove all distraction right now. Take away all the cares of this week, all the worries we have, all our problems and issues, that you would push those aside, that all the things of this world would dim, and that we could enter your holy presence and hear from you, our Creator, our Savior, and our Lord. So may we have ears to hear and eyes to see what it is your spirit wants to say to the church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 16, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. I think in order to get the depth of what the author is saying here and get a good understanding, I want to look at some context. So our context, if you go back to verse 7, the author transitions from the beginning of chapter 13 talking about love and the different ways that we can love. And he moves in verse 7 to a warning about false teaching. And that's the section we're in. Verse 7 through 17 is kind of this, at least in my mind, a similar theme. And he starts in verse 7 by saying, follow what your leaders have taught you, because Jesus is always the same in verse 8. He never changes. And in verse 9, he says to be strengthened with grace, not food. So the question came to my mind, what food is he talking about? And verse 10 gives us a clue. He says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. So the food that he's talking about is the food that comes from the altar, those sacrifices that were offered in the tabernacle, he says here, but the temple. So the food is this temple sacrifices. So the next question that came to my mind is, what are these sacrifices that he's talking about? And that brought me to Leviticus and the law. In the very beginning of the Leviticus, starting Leviticus 1, the Lord lays out those offerings that he wanted his people to offer to him by fire. And there were five offerings that the Israelites could bring. There were three that were free will offerings, And then there were two that were obligatory. They had to offer them. And interestingly, he doesn't start with the ones that were obligatory. He starts with the ones that were free will offerings. And the first one that he starts with is the burnt offering. And that's in Leviticus 1. And I'm not going to make you guys read it, so don't worry. But in Leviticus 1, he talks about and lays out the burnt offering. And the burnt offering, it was significant or special in that the whole animal was fully offered up in smoke. The entire thing. And it's interesting to me, too, in Leviticus 1:9, God says of it that it's a soothing aroma to the Lord, that smoke when it's offered up. And because it was wholly consumed in fire, the purpose of it, or the meaning of it behind it was meant for consecration. It means you're giving everything to the Lord. And the second free will offering was the grain offering, and that's Leviticus chapter 2. And they were to offer from their first fruits their grain, their new grain. And the grain offering, they offered a portion to the Lord in fire, and the rest the priest got to keep. Again, Leviticus 2, verse 2, says that it was a soothing aroma to the Lord. And that one signified it was giving thanks to God for his provision. The third free will offering was the peace offering. That's in Leviticus chapter 3. And the interesting thing about the peace offering is that there was three types of peace offerings you could offer. So it's kind of like a subcategory of it. You could offer a peace offering as a thanksgiving peace offering. You could offer a votive peace offering, which meant you were fulfilling a vow that you had made to God. And you could offer just the free will peace offering. And the thing about the peace offering was when you brought it to the Lord, God set aside a portion for the priest. There was the breast, which they would heave. That was a heave offering. And then there was the thigh, which I think they did as the wave. And I might be mixing those up. Could be either way. But the breast and the thigh went to the priest. But then with the peace offering, some was offered to the Lord, but then you got to eat some. So you were sharing an animal. You were sharing a meal with God. So the point behind the peace offering was fellowship with God. So those were the free will offerings. And then you had the obligatory offerings. And in Leviticus 4, it was the sin offering. And the sin offering, there was a different animal and a different, slightly different procedure you had to follow depending on who was offering it. There was a specific way to offer the sin offering for the priest. There was a specific way. Well, and before I move on, those free will offerings, all of those specifically said it was a soothing aroma to the Lord. With the sin offering for the priest, no mention of it being a soothing aroma, which I thought was interesting. So there was an offering for the priest for the sin offering. There was a special way to offer the sin offering for the congregation as well, for leaders, and then for the common person. And I also thought this was interesting because all those other ones for the priest, the congregation, the leaders, no soothing aroma. But when it came to the common person, then it mentioned a soothing aroma again, which I thought was interesting. But the sin offering, as we know, was for purification from sin. But also interesting is that it was only for unintentional sin. Not willful sin. And then Leviticus 5, the guilt offering, which is a type of sin offering. It was similar to it, but it was one where you had to make restitution as well for what you'd done. And again, it was unintentional sin. So these were the offerings that the Israelites were commanded to offer. They could offer those free will offerings. They were obligated to offer the sin and guilt offering. So that's our context, because remember our audience is Jewish Hebrew believers. And from what we can infer from the text, and we've said this multiple times as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, they were thinking of going back to the law, which means that they were also tempted to go back to the Old Testament sacrificial system. Those sacrifices we were just talking about. animal sacrifice. And we've talked about one reason why they wanted to go back, probably the main reason. They wanted to avoid persecution from the Jews. They were suffering a lot of persecution because of their faith in Christ. And in order to avoid that persecution, they were thinking of going back to just offering the sacrifices at the temple. But I also think they were probably tempted to go back because it was familiar to them. They had grown up doing this. This is the only thing they knew for generations and generations. It was this Old Testament sacrificial system. And it wasn't Old Testament to them. It was God's word. So they were familiar with it, and it was comforting to them. It was what they knew. And it seems from verse 10 in Hebrews, verse 9, where it says that those who were eating those things were not benefited. It seems that maybe they were thinking that if they ate those sacrifices from the temple, that they might be a little bit more spiritual if they did that. That it was spiritual to eat those sacrifices. And I was thinking about this, and it just reminded me that religion feels good, right? Doug talks about those rules, regulations, and rituals. For a lot of people, religion is very comforting. It's routine, and it's ritual. It's what you know. It's what you grew up doing. To have a list of things to do and to say, if I offer these sacrifices, then I'm good. And it made me think about, it was interesting you mentioned in the announcements, Ramadan, because I was thinking about Islam. And you'd be surprised that there's a lot of people that convert to Islam. And the reason they do is because of the structure that it provides. It offers simple discipline in the religion, because they have the five pillars of Islam. Faith, you just have to believe that in Allah and his prophet, Muhammad. Prayer, three times a day. Fasting, which is Ramadan. Giving, and then the pilgrimage to Mecca. And if you do those things continually, faithfully, you're a good Muslim, and you should end up in paradise. And I say should because it's not guaranteed. The only way to guarantee you go to paradise in Islam is if you're martyred. But regardless, there's still clear expectations. Christianity, there's some more gray areas sometimes, you know? And it's hard sometimes to know, but there's clear rules, and our flesh wants something physical to do. That's religion, right? We want something that we can do, a checklist we can satisfy. But the problem is, for these Jews, that God had already pointed out to them in the Old Testament, you can go through the physical motions, but your heart can still be wicked and unclean. Isaiah 1, you can turn there with me if you'd like. I want to read this scripture because God says it clearly and better than I could. Isaiah 1, verse 10. Isaiah 1, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. He's talking to Israel, and he's calling Israel Sodom. Give ear to the instructions of our God, you people of Gomorrah. That gives you an insight into the spiritual state of Israel. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Their incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of bloodshed. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together. Excuse me. says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. God rejected their sacrifice because of their sin and because of their heart before them. And he was calling them to repent and obey. Because more than the animal or the physical act of sacrifice itself, God wanted the worshiper's heart in their obedience and submission to him. And what we just read in that part where he says, come now and let us reason together, that's a prophecy about Christ. And only his sacrifice could make us white as snow. His sacrifice was the only way. But the Jews were missing the point of that sacrifice, or forgetting it here in our text in Hebrews, because Jesus was the fulfillment of those sacrifices. And in verse 9 of Hebrews 13, he said, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. He's trying to remind them it's about Jesus. It's not about the physical act of sacrifice. The sacrifices that they wanted to go back to were no longer needed. And it was not going to make them more holy to offer them or to eat them at the temple. So, because they were not to continue animal sacrifice, he then tells them, there is something you can do as a Christian. You can offer spiritual sacrifices to God through him, through Jesus. So I want to read these verses again now, understanding the context of what the original audience had in mind, thinking about going back to the sacrifices. Let's read this again. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. When you go through Scripture, this idea of spiritual sacrifice is all throughout. It's not just in the New Testament. It's not just right here in our text. I'm going to list these, so if you're taking notes, you can write them down, but we're not going to go to all of them. In the Old Testament, one of the spiritual sacrifices was obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel says to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. Then last week when Doug was going through verse 15, that sacrifice of thanksgiving or of praise, he went to one of these scriptures because one of the sacrifices, even in the Old Testament, was thanksgiving. And in these verses, it was thanksgiving and to keep your vows and your word and to call on him. Psalm 50, 7 through 15 and 23, we read those last week. He was saying, I don't need your sacrifice. Give me your thanks. Keep your vows. These are your sacrifice. Call on my name. Psalm 116, 12 through 19 says something similar. David says, what shall I offer to God? And actually in this he says, I will lift up your cup of salvation. Accepting God's salvation is offering God something. But he also talks about paying your vows, keeping your word, thanksgiving, and calling on his name. Humility. Psalm 51, 16 through 17. David, in that, it's a psalm of repentance after he had sinned with Bathsheba. And he says, sacrifice, burnt offering, you don't want, but a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, you will not despise. That's a sacrifice we could offer to God, is coming to him in humility. And then prayer in the Old Testament, Psalm 141, verse 2. David again, writing, he says, may my prayer be as the evening incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice, equating prayer to sacrifice. It's a spiritual sacrifice. The New Testament, Mark 12:33, when Jesus is talking to the lawyer, and the two greatest things, love God and love your neighbors, he says, these things are better than all sacrifice. It's all-encompassing, loving God and loving your neighbor. in Ephesians 5:2, similar idea that Jesus gave himself up in love as an offering, a sweet savory aroma to the Lord. So love is a spiritual sacrifice. Our bodies, we know this one pretty well, Romans 12:1, right? I urge you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy, what? Sacrifice. Fruit. In Romans 15:15-16, Paul talks about how he is his offering of the Gentiles, the people that have been saved through his ministry, are presented to God, to Christ, as an offering. Our fruit is an offering to God. In giving, Philippians 4:18. I've got to read this one because it's so right on with what we're talking about. Philippians 4:18. Paul says, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." So our giving is a spiritual sacrifice. And then the New Testament, again, similar to what the Old Testament says, talks about prayer. In Revelation 5:8, the incense in the bowls are the prayers of the saints. And then we have our text, where sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving is given, and then what we're in, verse 16, doing good and sharing. So this idea of spiritual sacrifice isn't new. But to focus on our verse, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So I thought, well, what is doing good? Looked at the Greek word. It was eupoia, probably butchering it, but it was no special like revelation in the translation of that word. It's really simple. It is just that. Well-doing, beneficence, good works, love. And I thought that was interesting because he had just been talking about love, right? In the beginning of chapter 13. So if we want to know what is doing good, how do I do good? Well, we just had examples. Love your brothers. Love your neighbor, the stranger. Show hospitality. Remember those who are prisoners. Love prisoners. Marriage. We can do good in our marriage and love each other. Not loving money. Those were all good examples. But we can fill in the blanks scripturally. Scripture gives us a lot of things that we can do, good deeds that we can do. And when we do those things, it's a spiritual sacrifice. It's something that's pleasing to God. Here's one that we don't like to do, but witnessing, sharing our faith with people we know or don't know, helping others. And we heard in the announcements, there's a need here to do the slides, the audio visual, to Sunday school, children's church. We have needs in the body, and we could do those things. And by doing those things, you'd be offering a spiritual sacrifice to God that's pleasing to him. So how can we do good? I was thinking, how can we do good in this town, too? You know, there's so much application in this. We could spend all day talking about all the things we could do. But I just want to say, ask the Lord and let the Spirit lead you in it. Because there's a lot of things we could do, but there's probably something we should do. And the Lord knows what that is for each of us individually. And the scripture that I was thinking about that came to mind was Ephesians 2:10, where he says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that's pretty cool. God's already prepared the good works for us, guys. All we have to do is ask him what it is and then walk in it. He's already made a way for it. So if we ask him, he'll tell us. But we have to ask. And I thought it was interesting, too, that in our verse in Hebrews 13, 16, he says, do not neglect. The Greek word neglect is more often translated forget. And I thought that was insightful because often in our busyness and in our hectic lifestyle as a society, we forget to do good. We let the world get in the way, and we forget. But it's a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. Do not neglect doing good and then sharing. So I asked the same question, what is sharing? The Greek word here, and this was insightful to me, was koinonia. And I'm sure a lot of you have already heard that word in the Greek before and you're familiar with it. Normally it's translated fellowship. That's the Greek word for fellowship. Do not neglect fellowship. He's already said that in Hebrews 10, where he says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Well, we were just talking about that, right? Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's translated fellowship, but it also has meaning of partnership, participation, contribution, giving, which is why it was translated here as sharing. So he is telling us, just like we read in Philippians 4, that sharing, giving to the church or to others is a spiritual sacrifice. And I don't want to belabor this because I don't like to talk about it, because there are too many churches that that's all they do is ask for your money and fleece the sheep. But I don't think Calvary does that. So it's here in the scripture. We go through verse by verse. So it needs to be mentioned. And Tom said earlier, church doesn't run by itself. We need volunteers. Well, it's also true, church would not exist without our giving and sharing. This building wouldn't be here. The lights wouldn't be on. We wouldn't have heat. So it's needful. So to wrap it up and move on so that we can get past this uncomfortable part, and I'll let the Lord, we'll let the Lord deal with each of us. I want to read Luke. Luke chapter 6 as an encouragement to us all. Luke 6, 38. This is God, this is Jesus saying this, and it's a promise. He says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return. So how could we not want to give with such a promise? You know, God is faithful. So doing good and sharing, we're not to neglect these, we're not to forget these. These things please God. It says, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. If you move down just a couple verses, verse 21 of Hebrews 13, well, we'll start in verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go back a couple chapters, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And I wanted to go to that verse because we have to offer these sacrifices, thanksgiving, doing good, sharing. We have to offer them by faith. God is spirit, right? We can't see him. These sacrifices that we have to offer are spiritual. You can't necessarily see them. We're not offering a physical animal, but it's still sacrifice. And Doug mentioned this last week, but I think it's important to revisit it, that sacrifice costs us. It isn't easy. It's difficult. And it makes me think of David when he said that I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. But going back to the Jewish sacrificial system, the animal sacrifice, that was a type for us. And we can learn a lot from it when you look at it, because it was costly to them. Because those animals were their income and their livelihood. It was how they fed their families. And they used those animals to help them complete their work. So if you think about it in today's terms, it would be like taking your whole grocery budget for a month or more and giving it to God, giving it away. Or it'd be like taking your snowplow, the thing that helps you make money, and give it to God. That's a sacrifice. That's not easy. That's difficult. It costs you something. And thinking about those sacrifices too, they had to, in each of those, when they were offered, place their hand on the head of the animal. And then this priest would slit its throat. So they had to have their hand on that animal as the life went out of it. They could feel the life leaving the animal. And these were animals that they raised from birth, you know. I think that's a little bit more significant to us because we get attached to them. I think if you do it long enough, you probably get more used to it. But the point is that they saw the cost of sin. It was death. And I think that's important because Jews today often take the Old Testament scriptures on spiritual sacrifice, those ones that I went through quickly, and scriptures like Proverbs 16:6, which says, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. They take those scriptures and say that's how sin is atoned for, because they don't have animal sacrifice anymore. I know this because I, back in Bible college, we'd go to this mall and witness, and there was one time we were witnessing to Jews, and I asked them about this. I was like, how do you deal with this? And they went to that scripture. By loving kindness and truth, sin is atoned for. But the problem is that, as we read earlier in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word doesn't change, and his word stands forever. So you still have to deal with Leviticus 17:11. And again, you guys probably might know this scripture. It's a famous one too. But Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. That's still true. That hasn't changed. And the author of Hebrews made that point. Hebrews 9:22. According to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There's no atonement without blood. So these spiritual sacrifices we're talking about, they don't atone. Works do not atone. Only the blood. And the price for our sin was paid through Jesus Christ. He is the sacrifice for our sins. We know that. And there's no longer a need for animal sacrifice. But I went into that because I think it's important, because that's why he says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, through him then, through Jesus. The only way our spiritual sacrifices are accepted is through Christ, because he's paid for our sin by his blood. And though the sin sacrifice was fulfilled in Christ, we can still offer ourselves as a spiritual sacrifice. Remember, burnt offering was consecration. We can offer ourselves as a burnt offering. We can offer ourselves as a peace offering, that fellowship with the Lord. In talking about the cost and sacrifice, the Jews also saw the cost of fellowship with God in the sacrifices they offered. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. I'll wrap up with this. The reason I wanted to go into the sacrifices of the Old Testament, I wanted us to get a picture. Because when you think about this, it's really quite beautiful that God gives us the opportunity to offer these spiritual sacrifices to Him, to offer ourselves holy. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 4, Peter says, coming to Him, that's Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. To what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. That's what we've been saved for, is to offer up these spiritual sacrifices. We are priests. Our lives have been made holy by Him. So like the priests in the Old Testament in the temple, we can offer these sacrifices up to Him, a soothing aroma to Him. We are meant to offer sacrifices to God, to offer spiritual sacrifices, to love Him and love others, which is better than all sacrifice, to be obedient, to offer to Him a broken and contrite heart, to offer Him our prayer, to offer Him our bodies, to offer Him the fruit of our lives, the people that we bring to Christ, to offer Him the things that we give to others and to His church, to offer Him our praise and thanks, the fruit of our lips, and to do good and share. So I want to encourage us, let's do it. Let's do good and share, because this is pleasing to God, a sweet, savory aroma, soothing to Him. And it's beautiful, and it's our responsibility as His priests. So Lord, I just pray that You would help us to understand this, and that You give us that desire, because You gave everything for us. And I pray that we'd want to give everything for You. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. There's nothing more costly or more precious, Lord. So show us, Lord. I pray that we take the time and ask You, how is it that You want me to do good? And how can I share so that we can offer up these sacrifices to You that are pleasing to You? And it may not be easy what You ask us to do, but it's sacrifice. And it's what it's expected of us. And I pray that we could do it with a willing heart, Lord. We could give You our hearts first. The rest of this will be easy. So I thank You, Lord, for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.